Okay, apologies for the delay. Technology is great once you figure out how to use it. Now, welcome to EE452, Wireless and Mobile Networks. And if you look around, you'll see both familiar and unfamiliar faces probably. This is one of the modules which is now shared by the fourth year of our undergraduate programs and the master's program. Okay. And so, you know, talk to each other, get to know each other, etc. Now, a few bits of it, sort of administration before we get going. I will be attempting to use Camtasia to record the lectures. So the audio recordings of these will be available. Typically, what I'll do is split the lecture into two parts with a, you know, decent size break, 15 or 20 minute break in the middle. 3 hours is sort of way too long for anybody to actually stay awake. One thing that I haven't mentioned in these slides is the assignments. The assignments will be based on the a network simulation package, NS2. And you will have two options for using this. One is it will be installed in the labs, and so you can use it in the labs. The second is you can install it on your laptop. It's free. And somewhat glitchy to install, but most people do succeed in installing it without too many problems. We're working on, again, sort of testing it out for various operating systems and trying to sort of, again, get something together which will tell you what the pitfalls are for trying to install it with various flavors of Windows. Okay. So, this lecture is just an introduction. I'll talk a bit about sort of generically what are wireless networks and sort of where we hope to go in this module with wireless networks. And then we'll have a small review, which again, nothing that's in the review is 100% critical for success in this module, but it's sort of builds up sort of a nice picture of what, you know, just sort of general networking concepts that's good to have in the back of your mind when you're taking any networking course. For a lot of you, this will be just that, complete review. You've seen it all before, and you know, there's nothing surprising. If it's completely new to you, you probably need to get a basic network text, and I include a few references in these notes, and at least have a skim through it and sort of get comfortable with, again, just sort of basic networking terminology and basic networking concepts. Now, this lecture probably is not going to take anywhere near the full 3 hours, so depending how it's going, we'll either have no break or a very small break in the middle of it. Okay. So, again, it's sort of a survey of wireless networks, so what are the various types of wireless networks, what are the fundamental principles that are underlying the design of wireless networks. It avoids sort of the higher end, the applications end, by and large, and sort of concentrates more on the sort of network implementation end of things, or how the networks themselves are designed. Okay, so those are my details. I always say the easiest way to reach me is by email. I'm happy to talk to any of you, but you know, I'm in and out of my office, so if you want to sort of talk to me, the best thing to do, again, is contact me and make an appointment. You know, additionally, you can send email, and you know, I'll try and deal with sort of any questions that are dealable by email in that way. Okay. So, what's the wireless and mobile vision? Well, people have gotten used to having loads of applications on their wired computers, so the sorts of things you can access by your desktop are infinite. File sharing, videos, phone, video conferencing, whatever. And so what we'd like is to have all of that, everything we have on our desktop with our broadband connection, we'd like to have it as we're walking down the street with our iPhone. Okay. So what is the obvious difference between the two? Well, the obvious difference is that you don't have wires and that you're moving. Okay. So do these introduce any issues or problems? Well, obviously, yes. Or we wouldn't have a course. Okay. So, can we provide everything that we have in our broadband desktop environment in a mobile setting? And, well, the answer is sort of yes and no. Very specifically, you know, we're getting there, sort of in the mobile telephony world, but there's still issues of quality. There's issues of sort of bandwidth. How much bandwidth can you provide to an individual user? And broadly, not really. The wireless mobile world is fragmented into sort of a number of different solutions, a number of different architectures, which are aimed at sort of solving very specific problems. So again, mobile telephony starts out with the problem of providing a voice connection while you're walking down the street or driving in your car. Wireless LANs were designed to solve a different problem, that of essentially just getting rid of your wires. So you have some limited mobility, but not complete mobility. You can move your laptop from one end of the room to the other, but you can't move it from one building to another necessarily. Okay. On the other hand, you probably get better connectivity through a wireless LAN than you will, while you're there, than you will through your mobile phone. That might change. Okay. So what we'll do again is we'll look at sort of broadly what are the categories of wireless networks that are out there. And again, they're all designed to solve somewhat different problems. And what we'd like is, the industry would like is eventually to converge on sort of an integrated solution so that, you don't have to sort of completely change paradigms every time you're switching the network. Okay, so again, how do wireless systems differ from wired systems? Well, obviously you've gotten rid of the wires. And what this means is that the means of transmission of your data is different. Obviously, you now have to use either a radio or maybe an optical signal. You don't have the wire over which you can send bits. These signals differ in the sense that they're broadcast. Again, if you send a signal down a wire, by and large, the signal is confined to that wire. If you want to send more signals, you're free to lay more wires, sort of. You can fill up the room with wires. Can't do that with radio signals. There's a very limited spectrum band of frequency that you can use, and that has to be shared amongst all the users in the area. Okay, so the nice thing that getting rid of the wires gives you is, again, mobility. You can move from place to place, not just within a room, but, you know, if you've designed your system right, you know, across town, around the world, potentially. And you can do that potentially while maintaining connectivity. Okay. Providing this mobility leads to a couple of challenges. One is coverage. We've already said that, again, you're using a radio signal, and this has a finite distance. You can't sort of send along the same frequency too close, you know, sort of physically too close together. So how do we design a system that allows you to have complete connectivity sort of as you're moving along? Because as you're moving along, you'll move out of the range of one connection and need to then be reconnected in another way. And so first of all, there has to be a connection available. And second of all, we have to have a way of moving that connection. So you've changed from one physical connection to another. And ideally, you'd like to do that seamlessly so that the user is not aware. And this is obviously what does happen with mobile phones. You can walk, and as you're walking and talking, potentially the physical connection that you have is changing from one base station to another base station. Okay. So, again, there are differences in the services that you can offer with a wireless, in a wireless environment, and there are also challenges in terms of what you need to do to provide services in this environment. Okay. And again, people expect quite a wide range of services to be available, and these services require potentially more or less resources from the network. And again, in a wireless setting, it might be more challenging to provide these resources. Bandwidth can be more limited in a wireless setting, and potentially you have higher error rates in a wireless setting than you have in a wired setting. Okay. So this, amongst other things, has led, again, to a fragmentation in terms of wireless network design. And, again, we'll look at sort of various examples of wireless networks as we go through the module and sort of compare and contrast. Okay, so what are the issues that arise in the wireless setting? Well, again, the big ones, which I threw at last, but we've mentioned already, are sort of just mobility and connectivity. But there are others as well. The devices used, again, if they're wireless, they're not going to be plugged into the wall. There's no power source available, so they're dependent on battery for their operation. And again, there's some issue of providing sufficient power to these devices. Obviously, the bigger your battery, the heavier the device. The smaller the battery, sort of the, you know, the sooner it's going to run out, the more, the sort of more, the fancier, if you will, the application you're running, the faster you're going to run out your battery. So, you know, it's easier to run sort of basic app, or less power intensive to run basic applications than complicated applications. Okay. We have a radio spectrum, and we'll say a few words about it, but it's a definite bottleneck. It's a scarce resource, and it's controlled by the various countries involved, and then with negotiation between countries, especially in Europe, where, you know, you have enough boundaries that it doesn't make sense to sort of not cooperate. Okay. So again, applications need various, have various performance requirements, and the response of the wired network typically is, if you know, if their performance requirements just throw more resources at the problem. So you need more bandwidth, you just add more bandwidth, and basically, hopefully, that takes care of all the other problems as well. But you can't do, again, you can't do that in a wireless setting. Your bandwidth is pretty much fixed. And so, and potentially it also fluctuates a lot more. There's a lot more factors that can influence sort of the loss and the bandwidth in a wireless system than a wired system. And that makes it difficult to offer any quality of service guarantees. Again, we'll look at what some networks have done to try and provision for quality of service. Okay. If you have a radio signal, it can be intercepted, so you need some method as well of trying to protect that signal. The data, pretty much, you can both use encoding and encryption to try and protect your data, and but you are also vulnerable to jamming, so sort of a malicious blocking of the signal. And as I said before, you have an issue of coverage. There's sort of a fixed range for radio signals. And so if you want mobility, you first have to provide adequate coverage. And sort of the most successful example of that is obviously the mobile phone networks, which have pretty much universal coverage. And then once you have this coverage, you have to find a way of maintaining connectivity as you have to change the actual physical connections that you're dealing with. Okay. So, again, we'll talk more about this when we talk about reviews, but data networks, in general, are designed on a layered model, where, you know, well, again, the layers sort of deal with different problems that you have within the network, from transmission of signals to point-to-point connectivity to end-to-end connectivity, et cetera. Okay. And the sort of rough model is that, again, we deal with the actual physical connection, so getting a signal from point A to point B. So that would be how do you represent the bits, how do you move the bits in space. Okay. Then potentially we have issues of, again, sharing resources on a point-to-point level. In the radio world, obviously, that's how do you share the spectrum. amongst different end-to-end users in a wired world, but can still be how do you sort of send multiple signals along a wire at the same time. Okay. Now, for us, we're going to sort of lump together the network and transport layer. And again, this is responsible for end-to-end connectivity. So at the network layer, you have concepts of routing and sort of finding a path by which you can get from here to China. And at the transport layer, you have the idea of connecting up data streams to specific programs running here and in China. And finally, at the application layer, which, as I say, we're not going to really deal with, you have the actual programs that want to communicate over this long distance. Okay, a point that I'm going to make later on is that typically this model refers to computer networks. Telephone networks do not match up exactly to this layered data model. Okay. And so typically at the lower layers you can make some comparisons, but the paradigm is somewhat different in that what a traditional telephone network has done is provide sort of an end-to-end bit pipe, so just an end-to-end connection with reserved resources. And a lot of what we'll say later about layering doesn't quite apply to telephone networks. Okay. Now, a lot of wireless networks, again, the telephone network aside, mobile telephony network aside, do follow a layered model. So there are sort of wireless versions of wired networks. There are the layering for any network does introduce inefficiencies and potentially performance loss. Those can be more damaging in the wireless networks. Okay, so there have been some proposals to sort of break the layered design for wireless networks and allow some cross-layer protocols that sort of exchange information between sort of varying protocols to make the performance more efficient. Okay. So again, layering is a concept for networks that transport data packets, not necessarily for networks that transmit data streams. I'm not going to dwell on that now because I will be returning to that idea when we do the review. Okay, so examples are there of wireless networks? And again, in this module, we'll look in more or less detail at a lot of these examples. The first one we'll start with for a couple of reasons. One is because it's big, and the other because it does sort of nicely illustrate a lot of these wireless principles and the radio principles involved is the cellular telephone networks. Okay. And again, the original purpose of cellular telephony was to provide voice connectivity while on the move. Okay, so in a wireless fashion. In order to do that, again, the issue of coverage had to be dealt with, and that's dealt with by defining cells. So each cell essentially represents a connection point to the network, and so when you're in a given cell, you will be connected sort of specifically to the base station within that cell. And as you move from cell to cell, again, we have to use handover to change the connectivity. Okay. Now, there's a big push in wireless cellular networks to move from voice connectivity to data connectivity. Typically, at the moment, these two are sort of sitting side by side. Like with the wired telephony network, there's a push to move to sort of all IP solutions, so all packet-based solutions. Okay. Another common example of wireless networks are wireless local area networks. And again, these are local area networks with the wires removed. Okay. And the 802.11 standard is common. And it provides an inexpensive and convenient way of connecting devices, or providing, or more relevant, providing access to the internet, sort of access to a core network using wireless technology. Okay, and typically, again, there are security issues, usually dealt with, you know, via encryption. They are more prone to errors, and you can potentially have lower bit rates. Okay, the performance of them will also be quite tied to how many sort of machines, how many users you have active at any given point, and it's in some cases, this would be sort of quite predictable. If you have a Wi-Fi hotspot in your Starbucks or whatever, you know, potentially you can have real performance problems as everybody sort of opens up their laptop and starts trying to watch videos. Okay. And again, we'll be going over the protocols sort of associated with them, the sort of design issues associated with that. Okay. Broadband solutions, and specifically WiMAX, was designed to, again, offer higher bitrate connectivity. And so its initial purpose was, again, just a broadband point-to-point connection, so allowing you better data rates as you connected to a typically wired backbone. Okay. It's actually been adopted as a 3G physical layer standard, so it is possible. So it is, you know, sort of in that category as well. Okay. It's been suggested for point-to-point connectivity in a wireless core network as well. Okay. So typically, again, a lot of the wireless part of wireless networks tends to be access networks. So you're trying to connect to the traditional wired backbone. So again, if you have a local area network, that gives you a connection, but then that access point is probably wired up to the wired core network, or allows you access to that wired core network. Okay. Again, there are some suggestions that in some cases it would be nice to have wireless core networks or wireless backbone networks transporting data over longer distances in rural areas where it doesn't make sense, you know, to you know, necessarily invest the resources to for that you would need for wired connectivity, and maybe in sort of for temporary networks in disaster areas, et cetera, where you want the infrastructure for one reason or another is gone and you want to replace it quickly. And again, WiMAX would be a standard that might be used for that. Okay. So those are probably the big three. There's loads of other ones which can actually be quite interesting. Sort of wireless personal area networks, and okay, yeah, I mentioned Bluetooth down there. Bluetooth is probably the most well known. And again, these are used sort of for very local connectivity. Ad hoc networks are slightly different in the sense that, I guess there would be some protocol work. For instance, NANA has a bunch of protocols associated with it, but typically they're not as well defined necessarily. And the difference, again, between what we've talked about before and the ad hoc networks is that the ad hoc networks seek to provide multi-hop connectivity. So they're not thinking, well, I'll just connect into the core network and then I'm great. They're saying, well, what if there is no core network and we just we still want to sort of organize a network. And this can be done in a fairly regimented fashion. So you could, you know, again, if you have your disaster area, you could plan your network and design your network sort of with the wireless transport stations being in fixed locations and well known, and down to, you know, again, things like wireless sensor networks where, you know, potentially your sensors are on wildebeests or something and they're moving sort of in whatever direction. And then if everything's moving everywhere, if you think about it, routing is a very complicated proposition. Okay. So we probably aren't going to say a whole pile about ad hoc networks. The big issues for ad hoc networks are, well, again, routing is huge if, you know, all your nodes are moving. Another one that I don't mention there is security is a big issue, both physical security and, again, data security. Okay, others, cordless phones, paging systems, satellite networks, ultra-wideband radio, a huge number, which, again, we're going to sort of push to one side and concentrate, again, mainly on the ones that are moving, are giving end users data connectivity to the broader network. Okay, so as I said before, you can see from this that, you know, the systems are quite fragmented. We'll see as we go on that the solutions can be quite different in flavor and in character, and that they're typically optimized according to some specific application requirements. Okay, so where does it all start? Well, it all starts with radio and making use of the radio spectrum. So this is the frequency spectrum is what we have to transport our data. And there's a huge use to which this frequency, this spectrum is put. And the types of networks that we're looking at
typically operate in this, you know, more or less gigahertz range. Okay. And again, there's only so much of it, so it has to be sort of allocated and used carefully. Again, there's a huge number of applications running within this range. And so there are, in some cases, our networking applications will sort of run a cropper with other ones. One of the most well-known examples is that the Bluetooth and microwave ovens can, well, microwave ovens can interfere with Bluetooth networks. Okay. So, again, as engineers, it's always good to be aware of the sort of not specifically technical, but more bureaucratic or issues. And again, you cannot just build a device to use any spectrum because of this issue of interference. So different frequency ranges are allocated to different types of networks. So the mobile phone network uses a different frequency range than 802.16, than Wi-Fi. Also, within those frequency ranges, you have to have some sort of control to make sure that the different operators are not clashing with each other. Okay, so even within the ranges, subsections will be allocated to different organizations. Okay, now this is done on a country-by-country basis. For obvious reasons, no country is going to give up control of such a resource. But also for obvious technical reasons, this is not a non-ideal situation. Okay. So there is regulatory body. Each country has its own regulatory body, COMREG in Ireland, FCC in the U.S., but in addition to that, there has to be some attempt to negotiate between countries. You know, particularly if you think about Europe, the countries are not overly large. They adjoin each other, and so they have to agree to cooperate so that you have some sort of compatibility along the country's borders. Okay, back to the technical. Again, you have different network types are assigned different frequency ranges, and partially because of the ranges assigned and partially because of the technologies used, they have different the actual networks that are implemented have different ranges. Okay. And there are also sort of the different networks vary according to the data rates they provide and also the mobility that they provide. And so at the sort of the best for mobility tend to be the mobile telephony networks. But their data rates tend to be low. And again, the trend is to sort of push for higher data rates in the mobile telephony world. At the other end of the spectrum, you have sort of low range, no guarantees of coverage, but relatively high data rates. Okay, so what are we going to do in this course? And we're going to spend the first part of the course looking at characteristics of radio transmission. So again, how does this differ from wireless? And then how does this feed into the type of systems that we can provide? And specifically, we'll look at cellular systems, so mobile telephony systems. And what are the principles behind the coverage and handover for mobile telephony systems? Okay. And so after that, after we sort of look at basic principles, then we'll go through again examples of different sorts of networks that, again, are common and well used, from the mobile telephony networks, and we'll look at sort of what's most common now, which is GSM, and then moving on to GPRS, UMTS, 4G networks, networks that are, again, trying to provide not only mobility, but also high-quality data transmission capabilities. Okay. We'll also look at the sort of wireless LAN and sort of more short-range networks. And finally, as I said, the assignments will be based on the NS2 simulator, and we'll look at sort of we'll look at Wi-Fi networks. So the assignment is going to be sort of to try and simulate Wi-Fi networks and look at sort of what are the factors affecting the performance of Wi-Fi networks. Okay. So I think I will call a short break here. After the break, we'll do a networks review. And for those of you who have either had the pleasure of having a module from me before, or if you're in the fourth year, this genuinely should be a review, and I won't hold it against you if you want to do a runner now. Okay, so I'll see you back at 11 o'clock, and we'll again do a quick review. It shouldn't take too long.